Hey, everybody, I am back, and thankfully no longer on my back. I'll tell you what I mean by that, as I had a, let's say, challenging week off, but we're back in the chair, and we are hosting and happy in our beautiful new studio. Thank you for helping make that possible, charliekirk.com/support. If you want to see a picture of it, then you should just watch us on Rumble. You could watch us on Getter. You could watch us on YouTube, but YouTube's kind of a waste of time. Anyway, email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. We talk about... Are leaders going to Ukraine? Why are they in Ukraine dishing out $40 billion? And I talked to the now Senate candidate nominee for the Republican Party in Ohio, the great J.D. Vance. We riff on that and what actually motivates the elites and so much more. Get involved with Turning Point USA and come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit at tpusa.com/YWLS. This is a one-of-a-kind event happening in Dallas, Texas, tpusa.com/YWLS. June 2nd, June 3rd, June 4th, 3,000 plus women, top conservative speakers, the celebration of freedom and femininity, and it's really a beautiful thing. Alex Clark will be there, Kaylee McEnany, Candace Owens, and more, tpusa.com/YWLS. It's in Grapevine, Texas, thousands of female students from across the country. You do not want to miss it. People have called it life-changing, and they meet friends for a lifetime. So check it out, tpusa.com/YWLS. Hope to see you all there. We also have our Student Action Summit, where we have President Donald Trump confirmed to speak, as well as some other very big speakers that will be there. tpusa.com/SAS. That's our Student Action Summit in Tampa, Florida. So tpusa.com/SAS. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody, here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. So there's a lot of stories happening that I want to dive into. The FBI parent story is super important. Obviously, the Roe versus Wade stuff is hitting kind of this breaking pitch. But I want to start with the story that is now kind of developed over the last weekend, which is why our leaders are trying to send another $40 billion to Ukraine. Now, this is something that we deserve answers to for very obvious reasons, not just because we don't know what success looks like in Ukraine. No one has actually told us that. They say, well, you know, it's to help Zelensky and his government fight against Russia. Okay, well, where exactly are those $40 billion going to be deployed? And why is that the urgent need, or why is that the urgent project of the federal government? Now, this passed through the House of Representatives with near unanimous consent. The Republicans had some opposition, but very little. It is a bipartisan agreement that we should continue to meddle further and deep into the affairs of other countries. So $40 billion, even though Joe Biden only asked for $33 billion, which will further antagonize Russia and get us closer to a war. In fact, Steny Hoyer said we're in a war last week. He said it very clearly and plainly that we are in a war. He said, in a time of war, why are we attacking Joe Biden? And so while our Western inheritance is alarmingly vanishing in front of us, we have to be lectured by our leaders why we have to go spend and send $40 billion to a far-off and distant land. Now, mind you, the right is not in agreement about this. There's plenty of conservative Republicans that I have respect for on other issues that are enthusiastic about sending another $40 billion to Ukraine. Lindsey Graham has come out and he said there is no price tag in getting rid of Vladimir Putin. Look, I think Vladimir Putin's an awful person, obviously. But who's to say what you get after Vladimir Putin is not going to be worse? What about after Muammar Gaddafi? After Gaddafi, Libya goes into civil war. How about after Iraq, you get ISIS? After Iran, and you re-implement the Shah, you get this now totalitarian theocratic dictatorship that has been ruling Iran since the 1970s. When America intervenes in these countries, does it always go well? It actually usually doesn't. Why do our leaders not learn that? Because they don't actually consider those things to be mistakes. They consider Libya and they consider Iraq and Iran and many of the other interventions of decades past to be a glowing success of the regime. So this last weekend, and of course Pelosi did this a couple weeks ago, last weekend you had, just a couple days ago, you had John Cornyn, John Barrasso, Mitch McConnell, and Susan Collins go to where they think their time is best spent. It's not on the U.S. southern border. It's not to solve the baby formula crisis. It's not to address the drug overdose epidemic, which Susan Collins and Mitch McConnell represent two states that have huge issues with drug overdoses. Same with John Barrasso in Wyoming. No, instead, they took a surprise visit to Kyiv, Ukraine. This weekend, Mitch McConnell and John Barrasso and John Cornyn and Susan Collins went to basically go hand deliver to Zelensky the promise of $40 billion given to Ukraine. Now, America going to Ukraine, do you know what I see when I see that? I don't see like American values being represented abroad. I see the opposite. You see, America is now an exporter of bad ideas. We are now the creator of these bad ideas, and we are a petri dish for them in every single corner around the world. And so when we go to Ukraine, we are not bringing the ideas of self-government and respect for the individual and the protection of the weak. It's the opposite. You see, when we establish the deep state, the State Department, the Central Intelligence Agency, when we pump money into Ukraine, what you get is more race hucksterism. You get anti-Western thought. You get abortion fanaticism. You get revenge-based politics. The support of chemical castration of children. In fact, when they talk about bringing Western values to Ukraine, they're like, "If with our support, we'll be able to have drag queen story hour in Maripol." It's like, that's actually not what I think we should be doing. Now, some people say that's a misunderstanding, a misrepresentation. No, it's not. The U.S. State Department, they're more willing to put the LGBT flag up in their embassies in certain months of the year than the American flag. They put the BLM flag at the State Department embassies all across the world. And so you have these Republican clowns that go to Ukraine, and you want to tell me that this is the biggest issue facing our nation? A great mark of a politician is whether or not they know the limits and the barriers and the boundaries. No, what this is political smokescreen. And why Republicans play into this, I don't know. Okay, we expect the Democrats to be globalist-minded, to betray their voters. They don't actually care about the well-being of the nation that they're in. We know that. But why are Republicans playing along? Well, they believe in neoconservative politics for completely different reasons. The neoconservative politics that Republicans believe in is they believe in playing war games halfway around the world because it gives them a sense of purpose. They actually don't want to address the country, the issues that are facing our country right now. They don't. And we're going to go through them in great detail. A nation falls apart. In fact, it is the mark of a falling empire when a couple things happen. Your currency falls apart, you get super obsessed with gender, your borders remain wide open, and you meddle in other people's affairs. Every empire that has fallen has a tendency to do that. They always get really distracted with like gender debates. This happened in the fall of the Roman Empire. It's happened in almost every major arc of civilization. They get so fixated on questioning fundamental truths. Borders start to mean nothing, your currency destabilizes, and you start worrying about far off distant lands than the well-being of your own citizens. Why? Because they actually don't have a lot of respect for their citizens. Because in Washington, D.C., the most important thing is Ukraine. Guess what? It's not the most important thing in our country. It isn't. It's not even top 50. It's not top 100. Our leaders are so convinced that your taxpayer dollars, $40 billion, need to be spent in Ukraine. Look, over the years, you've probably tried difficult investments in stocks and mutual funds, so you know they can be volatile and unpredictable.
But with inflation running at the highest rate of 40 years, do you want volatility and uncertainty? Being able to sleep at night, knowing where your money actually is, it's worth its weight in gold. And speaking of gold, if you've been jumping from one investment to the other, a gold IRA from Noble Gold might be perfect for you. A reliable hedge against inflation just fell into our laps. With gold, you shield yourself from gains and taxes. You keep the real value of your wealth. You'll own a global asset. It's something tangible and protect your wealth against an economic crash. I own gold and you should as well. So what's not to like? And this month, for every gold IRA above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more at noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, noblegoldinvestments.com.
So Mitch McConnell has come out and he has said, look, the most important thing happening in the world right now is the war in Ukraine. What country does Mitch McConnell represent exactly? The country that has the wide open border and 100,000 plus drug overdoses, that has double digit inflation? You see, for Washington, D.C., war games are always more important than the livelihood of their citizens. Always. They'll always care more about some far distant land than their own constituents. Is Mitch McConnell a senator from Western Ukraine? Or is he a senator from Kentucky that has incredible problems right now? Kentucky's dealing with drug problems, inflation, unemployment. You see, Rand Paul, who also represents Kentucky, actually cares about his voters. Rand Paul stood up and said, I represent my voters, and I swore an oath to the United States Constitution. And I'm not going to just all of a sudden authorize $40 billion to go to some far off distant land when we do not know what success looks like. Will this bring us closer to peace or closer to war? You see, there should be solutions put forward other than just giving Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, and Lockheed Martin complete and total blank checks to be able to have their chance at pillaging the United States Treasury. Here's Mitch McConnell, play cut 20, saying, we can all agree that Ukraine is the most important thing right now. Cut 20.
We all agree the most important thing going on in the world right now is the war in Ukraine. We need to do this Ukraine only, and quickly. I think we're on the path to getting that done. Discussions are underway between the House and Senate appropriators on the crafting of the package. It needs to be clean of extraneous matters directly related to helping the Ukrainians win the war.
How about you help the Americans win the war, Mitch McConnell? How about you help our invasion happening on the southern border? Where's the urgent need for action? In fact, you did not do any of that when Donald Trump was president. You still don't. You look at actually what the American people think are our biggest issues. Ukraine doesn't even rate. It's not even on the scale. Top 12 issues for Americans. Number one, inflation. Number two, affordability of healthcare. Number three, violent crime, like dead people in the street. Number four, gun violence. Five, federal budget deficit. Six, climate change. Propaganda does play a big role. Then the quality of schools, illegal immigration, racism, conditions of roads, bridges, and other infrastructure, unemployment, and then coronavirus. If you go party by party, illegal immigration, only 19% of Democrats think it's a problem. 65% of Republicans think it's a problem. But the issues that transcend party lines that both parties believe are a big issue, inflation and violent crime. Both parties think it's a major issue. And yet, Ukraine's not on the list. Yet, Mitch McConnell says we can all agree. Actually, no, you and your like group of people that have passed their sold-by date senators that are completely irrelevant. These people, I have such little respect for them when they do stuff like this. And they want more political power in November. Yes, go vote to give us more political power. Why? So you can keep on going playing war games in Ukraine, get us closer to a nuclear armed conflict. And for the Republicans that support this, and some, including some people in popular mass media, that say, well, there is no price tag. Of course there's a price tag. Part of being an adult is you always ask, what is the price? Being a mature society is saying, yeah, that's actually not our role. What, maybe, can we get some sort of audit or some sort of prerequisite checklist? You know, if I were to underwrite a loan for someone to go borrow, to go buy a home, you have to go do some vetting. right? What's your credit? Can you do the down payment? Do you have a criminal history? Like some very basic things. Could Ukraine pass the metaphorical prerequisite for being able to borrow money, quote unquote, be in the countries that should actually be able to receive foreign aid? All Rand Paul was trying to do with this $40 billion bill was slow it down and get a roll call. Say, where does everyone stand? Now, thankfully, Josh Hawley and Bill Hagerty have come out, thankfully, and said they're going to oppose it. But any Republican that votes for this will go down dramatically in my book. Any Republican that votes for this bill, I'm going to lose huge respect for. There is no reason to spend more money than Joe Biden has asked for to Ukraine. While we have so many issues, not like little tiny issues, we have civilizational turning issues. And our leaders are too busy in a far off distant land handing out money to corrupt kleptocrats. Look, everybody, I know you love freedom and you want to defend it. And I know you love the Constitution. It's a beautiful document, and so do I. And it's the same with Hillsdale College, the best liberal arts college in America. Hillsdale's mission is pursuing truth and defending liberty. It gives its undergraduate and graduate students the best education and is working to make this education available to all, from offering free online courses to helping support K through 12 schools. But today I want to tell you about Hillsdale's amazing free monthly digest of liberty. It's called Imprimis. Over 6 million households and businesses receive Imprimis for free each month. And you can join them by subscribing right now at charlie4hillsdale.com. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. There's no strings attached while you're there. Take an online course. Take their Aristotle course. Take their Winston Churchill course. Take their Western theology course. Generous donors who love freedom make it possible for Hillsdale to send you Imprimis for free. Imprimis is one of my favorite publications, and Imprimis means in the first place. It's short, smart, useful, and fun. Start receiving your own free copy of this great digest of liberty and take an online course while you're at it. Enroll. Their Great American Story course is incredible. Visit charlie4hillsdale.com. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. Check it out right now, charlie4hillsdale.com. So when we talk about exporting American values, we have to understand we're not exporting like natural law doctrine and separation of powers and consent to the governed. No, when you go see McConnell and Barrasso and Susan Collins all the way in Ukraine, what are they really doing? They're further reinforcing the sort of anti-Western ideas that we have become experts at creating and exporting them. When you talk to foreign intellectuals, we just had Douglas Murray on this program a couple weeks ago, and I enjoyed reading his book this last week, The War on the West. It's spectacular. When you start to talk to foreign intellectuals and you study kind of how, or you just listen to where they say these ideas are coming from. Previously, America used to be a net importer of bad ideas. Now we are the assembly line and the factory and a net exporter of them. These ideas of the woke, it's not like they're coming from France or Germany anymore. In fact, our ideas have become so radical at the top levels of American society that even parts of French society or German society, they're resisting American ideas and they're trying to de-wokeify their civilization, saying American values are actually making us less free, destroying our heritage and destroying our history and our culture. Well, someone who understands that and who has just won a massive primary, I actually haven't seen him since his victory. I was with him actually at his last rally, help him in any way I could, is J.D. Vance, the U.S. Senate nominee candidate for the great state of Ohio, running against Tim Ryan. J.D., welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
And congratulations. I actually haven't a chance to tell you that yet. So first, just your reaction from your race. You won the shocking victory, I think, almost 2 weeks ago. How are you processing things? How's your race standing now that you're in the general?
No, it's good. I mean, look, the Biden administration has been a disaster, and Tim Ryan, my Democrat opponent, has voted with the Biden administration 100% of the time. So we feel good about the general. Still got to put in the work. I think the Republican primary, the way that I think about it, is that it was a referendum on what kind of party do we want to be? Do we want to be a nationalist America First policy, or do we want a party, or do we want to go back to the ways of starting stupid wars that we have no reason to be in and shipping our manufacturing base off to China and other countries in the world? So I'm glad that the voters of Ohio rejected the old establishment ways, and I'm excited to take the America First message into the general election. And like I said, I feel pretty good about it.
So in a couple months, if everything goes according to plan, which I believe it will, you'll be a U.S. senator. How will you react to this? For example, senators going off to Ukraine, they want to try to pass a vote by unanimous consent, $40 billion. The consensus in the Republican Party is that we have to do this, no question asked. Praise God for Rand Paul, who came out and said, how about a roll call vote? Josh Hawley said he's a no. Senator Bill Hagerty, how would you vote on something like this?
Yeah, it won't surprise you, Charlie. I would vote no on this. I mean, look, I think we have to separate our emotional sympathies with the Ukrainians, and I think it was very wrong, of course, for Russia to invade that country, from what the proper policy response is as a country. Look, at the end of the day, what's in the best interest of our country is to de-escalate the war. Does this $40 billion help that? Frankly, I don't know, because I don't think anybody knows what's in this $40 billion, how it will be spent, how it will actually help or hurt the Ukrainian effort. So I think Rand Paul took the right course of action. Let's at least, I mean, at the very minimum, know where this money is going before we spend it. But what I propose, Charlie, is to say that not another dollar goes to the Ukraine unless we fix the American southern border. So we need to match any amount of money we send to Ukraine with money going to the southern border to control the flow of drugs, the flow of sex trafficking, the flow of things that actually affect people right here in Ohio, which is what my obligation is towards fixing the problems of the people of Ohio, not the problems of a country 6,000 miles away, no matter how sympathetic that country might be.
So, but why is it that's such a controversial opinion? Why is it that our leaders dash quickly to Kyiv but not to Nahalis, right? Why are they quick to go grandstand in Stockholm but not go down to my home state of Arizona and actually say, wait a second, every state's a border state? I'm asking you just to speculate a little bit, because you're running against one of these people, by the way, who kind of pretends to be kind of a pro-Midwestern guy when in reality he isn't. Why do you think that is? Like, can you give some insight into kind of the mentality or the philosophy of what is now kind of the typical American ruling class member?
Yeah, you know, it's just a guess, but my sense, Charlie, from having, you know, been involved in this world for a few years and seeing how these people think and how they operate, so I think it's a pretty good guess, is that most of them don't think that much about what they're actually doing. They all get caught up in the prevailing trends, the prevailing culture, the moment that they're in. And right now, everything from the media to our think tank world to the intellectual world is sending the message that we have to be focused on Ukraine. Of course, I don't think that's how a majority of the people in Ohio feel. They think that there are much bigger problems closer to home. But I just think that, you know, if you're a part of the American ruling class, you get caught up in this unthinking herd mentality. Right now, the herd is focused on Ukraine. Of course, a year ago, it was focused on something else. A year from now, it'll be focused on something different. And we just don't have nearly enough people who are willing to stand against the tide. As you know, Charlie, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to run, is because I thought for the people of Ohio to have effective representation, there needs to be at least one person in our Senate delegation who's sort of standing up and saying, you know what, maybe what everyone in Washington is focused on is not the right thing to be focused on. And just one other thing, Charlie, is the incentives of the system are set up that these people never have to reflect on their own failure. I mean, think about this. In 2003, everyone knew that Afghanistan would be an easy war for the United States to win. In 2003, everyone knew that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. In 2007, everybody knew that we didn't have a housing bubble. In 2020, everybody knew that masking four-year-olds would prevent the spread of a respiratory illness. The problem is not so much that people are wrong. Like, I've been wrong about stuff. I'm sure you've been wrong about stuff. Like, we all get things wrong. The problem is there's no reason for these people to go back, admit failure, and rethink some of the processes that led them to be wrong in the first place. That is what's most broken about a ruling class. They never have to face up to their own failure.
Yeah, and just be honest. That's exactly right. And then they think we're so stupid that they could just kind of cover it up and they can say, oh, yeah, like, whatever. I mean, sure, we're just going to keep on news. I mean, Lindsey Graham comes out and he says there's no price tag to getting rid of Putin. No price tag. I mean, that's such a reckless and irresponsible thing. You take just like a regular person that we saw in Circleville, Ohio. They would never say something like that.
Right.
I mean, there's more. What's your thoughts on that?
And what if we get rid of Putin and the guy who comes after him is even worse?
That's exactly right. Right.
We certainly have experience with regime change wars the last 20 or so years. And sometimes you get an improvement. A lot of times you get somebody who's much worse. And so you could have a situation where an even worse guy than Vladimir Putin controls their nuclear arsenal, controls, you know, the security fate of Europe. And what if you think about this entire Russia-Ukraine situation allows us to gloss over and ignore 20 years of foreign policy failure in the West. Like, why doesn't Germany have a real army? Why has the American military been focused on white rage instead of winning wars, right? That's what the military leadership is focused on in our country. Like, why aren't we actually solving the real problems? Why are we so dependent on Russia for fertilizer and for energy? And why are we so dependent on China or any other country for that matter? Like, none of the bigger problems are being thought of in this moment. None of the bigger answers to those problems are being considered. What we're all doing is focused on this Russia-Ukraine situation to the exclusion of everything else, including some failures that we've made in Russia and Ukraine that I think would have prevented this situation from getting so bad in the first place. We have to remember that if Joe Biden hadn't given up American energy independence,
exactly right,
America would have gone into this situation in a much stronger position to begin with.
Well, and that's totally correct. And what really has bothered me, and just seeing these, you know, senators in Ukraine this last weekend, is like the moral grandstanding and the urgency. Like, flying to Ukraine's not exactly easy. I don't care if you have a Codel, right? That takes some effort.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I mean, that's where you're going to go. I mean, let's just be honest. Like, that's a tough trip for McConnell. Like, that's, you know, you got to put some effort in, right? And I mean, with Susan Collins, like, God bless him. But it's like, you don't take that effort to go down to like this, like the Rio Grande Valley. And it's like the incentive structure. And I think part of it, though, is that the one thing that can get you kind of like a momentary kind of ceasefire from the Washington Post is go and promote neoconservative dogma abroad. Right.
That's right.
And if you go look at how the press has covered McConnell the last couple of days, it's all about like McConnell's war with MAGA in Ukraine. Like, McConnell stands up to his own party. It's like, I think he kind of gets a little bit of a kick out of this. Like, yeah, I'm a good person. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's right, actually. I do think that a lot of what drives the foreign policy consensus is it's one of the few things where congressional Republicans can get away from the constant hate stream of the
media,
right?
Exactly,
like my sense, Charlie, is that there are three issues where you're not allowed to go against the neoliberal, neoconservative orthodoxy in this country. The first is immigration, right? If you even suggest, if you frankly even repeat back what the Democrats have said about their immigration policies, you know, changing the political makeup of the country, then you're a crazy conspiracy theorist, right? If the Democrats say it, it's good and true and it's happening, if Republicans repeat their words back to them, then we're engaged in conspiracy thinking. The second is trade. You cannot dissent from the move towards globalization in the flow of goods. And the biggest one is foreign policy. You can't dissent from the idea that maybe the wars that we've been fighting have not been in the best interest of our country. Those are the three issues where the consensus hates your guts. And so, I understand why these guys want to get a positive headline every now and then. Unfortunately, the consensus has been so wrong on foreign policy that if you go along with that consensus, you may very well get this country involved in a military conflict that could be catastrophic for us. Because if you notice, there's this slow ratchet that's going on, right? Mm-hmm. We're just getting a little bit more involved and a little bit more involved. If you think about our policy today, it's not all that different from a couple of weeks ago. It's just a little bit different. But you add up all these little differences, and we could be in a situation where by the summertime, by August, right, are we in a full-scale military conflict with the Russians? Because that's the thing that I've been warning against. And by
that's
the
right.
way, that's the thing they've been saying I'm crazy for warning about. No one wants to get involved in a war with Russia. Well, the way you get involved in a war with Russia is by these stupid little decisions that we keep on making.
Well, I mean, you don't want to get in a war. Why are you visiting then exactly? Like, that's kind of weird. Like, oh, yeah, we have nothing to do with it. It's just kind of a proxy conflict. If it's a proxy conflict, you don't send your Senate leadership and your House leadership there. Usually that would be something. I mean, had they gone to the baby formula factory recently and done a press conference? That would be helpful.
Exactly.
JD, what are the other issues you're hearing from voters in Ohio on the top of their mind as you travel the state now in the general election? that aren't Ukraine? Like, what else are people actually caring about?
Of course, the southern border issue, Charlie, you mentioned Arizona, but really every state's a border state because of the amount of drugs and sex trafficking that's coming across the southern border. That's a big concern. The thing I hear most about, of course, is not just inflation in the goods that we have, but also an inability to find goods that we need. So that's baby formula for young mothers. I still can't believe it's sort of a sign of a third world country is mothers not being able to find formula for their kids. Can't believe it's true in the United States of America. But it's also true of a lot of manufacturers who can't find components they need because, you know, our leaders decided to make themselves dependent on China. And now China is in a state of lockdown. And so our businesses can't get the supplies they need. So it's a lot of just, you know, are we making stuff in the country? Can people afford basic goods? Are people dying of preventable diseases and overdose deaths because our leadership has decided to throw open the gates at the southern border? Those are the things that I hear the most about. You know, it's funny, we started to hear more about abortion, of course, with the draft Roe versus Wade opinion coming out. And Charlie, I'm 100% pro-life and proud to be pro-life. It's so funny. Tim Ryan is trying to paint me as a sort of radical on the abortion question because of my pro-life viewpoint, when he himself has defended abortion up to 40 weeks, full-term babies defending abortion in this country. It's so barbaric and so outside of even, I mean, look, they're pro-choice people. We can agree to disagree on the abortion question, but even the pro-choice friends that I have are not defending abortion up to 39, 40 weeks of gestation. It's so barbaric and it's ridiculous that Tim Ryan is trying to paint me as a radical when his opinion is basically the most left-wing version of abortion opinion that exists anywhere in this country.
Yeah, and on the baby formula thing, it's actually created by the government. This is, again, yep. I mean, so you have a government that is unable to withdraw properly from Afghanistan, leaving $85 billion of weapons behind. They're not able to notify the proper agencies when you shut down a baby formula facility or factory based to health concerns. But all of a sudden, they're going to masterfully be able to implement $40 billion in the middle of a war zone against a nuclear-armed nation that has a tendency not to really lose wars just because they don't lose them, not necessarily win them. Like, that's all of a sudden going to be – like, we should trust that all of a sudden? That's the government that we want to send to Kyiv? Am I seeing that right?
That's how they want us to see it. But unfortunately, that just ain't the way it is. I mean, look, we often criticize, and rightfully so, government's inefficiency, the fact that, you know, we're not always meaning the government isn't always a good steward of people's resources. And yet you're right. We sort of think that $40 billion of unchecked, no strings attached resources are somehow going to get to the right hands in the Ukraine. It's just a crazy thing. I can't believe that anybody would push back against even having an inspector general who would at least observe and keep some tabs on how that $40 billion is being spent. I mean, that is a ton of money, Charlie. I know that we have, you know, hundred billions of dollars worth of deficits every single year in this country. $40 billion is a ton of cash. The fact that we're talking about spending it with no oversight is just preposterous.
No, but it's typical. And I mean, and this is the last thing I'll say because we have to run, is I wish I trusted my government. I want to believe in my government. I do. I think it's healthy. In fact, I think it would de-radicalize our politics. But when crap like this happens and they're all of a sudden forking $40 billion, I mean, I take 1 week off, JD. I come back and it's like $40 billion here. I'm like, really? Like, this is what I'm supposed to believe is in the best interest of our people. It only makes me doubt them more and be more skeptical and cynical. That's why you have to win. JDVance.com. JD, thanks for joining, and you come back anytime.
Thanks, Charlie. Good to be with you.
You bet. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.